When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Jean-Lit Foot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
This is Orlando. This is where we believe in magic.
Welcome to Zoneheads Orlando, the podcast of the Orlando sports fan.
They try to run her over. Fouché got it to go. Oh, Cole Anthony hit the deck for good measure.
What is up, everyone, and welcome back for another episode of Zoneheads Orlando, the underreported. I am your ever-grateful host, Greg Rhodes, and just last week, we talked about the possibility of adding minor league baseball to Orlando's ever-growing sports scene. And almost as if on cue, the Sports Business Journal named Orlando as the number one city in the country for sports business. Now that, in my mind at least, solidifies my entire point that Orlando is ready for sports expansion. And that can come from many different ways. That could be from minor league baseball, or it could even be something that the city also has a history with. And that's women's sports. Now, it seems like women's sports is going through a bit of a revival right now. You look at last year's NCAA basketball championship game ratings, and the men had 14.69 million view their championship game. That's a record low viewership. Meanwhile, on the other side, the women had 9.92 million, the closest that gap has ever been, and that was a record high. So one on the comeuppance, the other coming back down a little bit. But you can also see this trend going on in other college women's sports. You look at softball and baseball, the numbers are even closer when you look at the College World Series. But I don't mean just college. We don't have to look at just the college level to see that things are really coming up for women's sports all over the country. You look at the Orlando Pride, which are already here in Orlando, in one of the premier leagues when it comes to women's soccer worldwide, and ESPN agrees. For a four-year contract, ESPN is paying $240 million for the exclusive rights to air the National Women's Soccer League. Now, that's up from the three-year deal and $4.5 million that the National Women's Soccer League is just coming out of a contract. ESPN sees the writing on the wall. The World Cup is coming in 2026 here to the United States. They're expecting women's sports to blow up. And I think that's exactly what's about to happen, and Orlando's already trying to take advantage of that, as you see other professional women's leagues starting up, like the Pro Volleyball Federation. And if you just take the quick drive out to East Orlando, where you're going to go to UCF's campus, head out to Edition Financial Arena, you're going to get the chance to watch the Orlando Valkyries, and they're part of that Professional Volleyball Federation that I'm talking about. And I had the chance to speak with head coach Amy Pauley of the Orlando Valkyries about what it's like to be a part of this new league, this new endeavor, and just what the track is for women's sports here in the United States moving forward. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Zoneheads Orlando. This is Greg coming to you with head coach of the Orlando Valkyries, Amy Pauley. Coach Pauley, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
No, absolutely. And you are, like I said, the head coach of the Orlando Valkyries, the new Pro Volleyball Federation team here in Orlando. But before we get too much into that, can you just kind of talk a little bit about your coaching experience and also your personal playing experience as well?
Sure. Yeah. I'm originally from Chicago, so big volleyball influence there just in the Midwest. That's how I kind of got into it. and I went to school at University of Alabama. I played libero there and kind of got into coaching right out of college. So I was a grad assistant at South Carolina, and then went on to my first assistant coaching position at Villanova University, where I was for 6 years. And my last collegiate stop was at Southern Cal. So I was there for 3 years, loved it, loved that I got to be in the Pac-12 right before its demise. but that kind of led me to the spot I'm in now, which is with Pro Volleyball Federation. And it's been a pretty cool journey.
That's fantastic. How did the, just kind of your journey through college, you had a couple of stops there. How did that kind of prepare you for coming to this level where you're bringing in people from all over to compete on this one team centralized out of Orlando?
Yeah, I think I was really lucky with all of my college stops. Villanova, I was there for 6 years. And so when you're at a mid-major for that long and in a conference like the Big East, you really get to like have your hand in everything. And so I think that prepared me for my first head coaching job, which was at University of Alabama, Birmingham. And then from there, I really took the Southern Cal job to kind of help elevate me to the next level of things. I played in the SEC. It was super competitive. We were a tournament team. I loved it, but I wanted to kind of work with that higher level athlete and in that kind of grind of the Pac-12. And, you know, every match is a dogfight to get into the NCAA tournament. And I really was appreciative of Coach Keller taking the chance on me that I hadn't had a Power Five job yet. And so he just kind of saw something in me. And through that experience at USC, I feel like that is what really prepared me for this role. International recruiting, I think just, you know, making decisions in a short amount of time during the timeouts and these pro matches is a lot different. And so just managing the game in the Pac-12 was different than anywhere I've been before. And so that's kind of what I feel like helped shape me into this role here.
That's fantastic. And this is the first year of the Pro Volleyball Federation, is that correct?
Correct, yes.
So that coming up, how did that opportunity kind of come across to you as you're going to have to come from California and start coaching in Orlando? And I know you're also the vice president of operations with the team as well. So how did all of that kind of come together for that?
Yeah, the league launched, I want to say, at this point, maybe 18 months, 2 years ago. And I really didn't think anything of it. You know, I was like, okay, this is cool. Like pro volleyball is getting super popular in the US. Like we have Athletes Unlimited. We have another league that has been saying they're launching, and then PVF comes around. And so as a college coach and in a place where I feel like there's a lot of stability when you're in a P5, obviously not from the wins and loss column, like you got to do your job, but the Power Five conferences aren't going anywhere. And so I felt I was at a really good place with my collegiate career. I could catapult into a head coaching job. I could stay at USC. I felt pretty comfortable in what I was doing. And I did not go seeking the PVF job. They came to me, they reached out to me. And once I had my initial calls with the league founders and Cecile Renaud, who is the director of coaches, and Jen Spiker, who's now serving as our CEO, it was a no-brainer to me. It was so exciting to hear, one, the financial stability that they were putting into it, because I think that's a huge piece of it. And then also just hearing the athletes that were involved and wanted to help this thing grow. I kind of jumped right at the opportunity to take the interview, and things moved really fast from there. And so it was really exciting. Orlando in itself is a volleyball community. I don't know if many people know that, but they host the AAU National Championships every year. They host a huge qualifier for USA Volleyball. And there's a ton of Division I athletes and just collegiate athletes in general that come from the area. So I felt like in terms of the market, it was going to be well received and very well supportive. And I think we've seen that so far in our matches.
Yeah, I think so. I've attended a couple of the matches, and they have solid turnout. I've attended some of the UCF volleyball matches earlier in the year, and you do really see that kind of groundswell of support for that sport here in the area. And even just over the last year, you talk about like the Nebraska, coming from the Midwest, the Nebraska game that happened just this last year where they sold out Cornhusker Stadium for a volleyball match. It really does show kind of where volleyball is on the conscious of the American sports fan right now.
Yeah, in general, the Nebraska thing was huge. I mean, 92,000 people at an outdoor volleyball match. I don't think anybody could have dreamt that, but only in Nebraska, I feel like that would happen. But it really just got the ball continuously moving for attendance records this year in volleyball. So there was some graphic, I'm going to quote it wrong, but I think every Power Five school saw a jump of like 15% in attendance this year. And then you saw our viewership numbers also setting a record. So like the viewership for the NCAA tournament, we're breaking records in PVF with how many fans we have going to the matches. Omaha set one twice against us. So I keep saying that people just want to see Orlando play, so they're going to Omaha to watch. But we had 12,000 people at our match last week, and I mean, it was awesome.
Well, that's a matchup of two of the kind of what's been the powerhouses here in the league so far. Orlando, you guys have really competed. And from what I understand, Omaha is an impressive team so far this season.
Yeah, Omaha is sitting in first place, tied with Atlanta. They lost the head-to-head to Atlanta, but I think there's a tie up there. Everybody kind of has a unbalanced record, so to say, in terms of how many matches that they've played. And so I wouldn't say the standings are very accurate right now. but yeah, we're sitting right there in playoff contention. We have played what I think is the most grueling schedule so far. We've played Omaha four times, which is enough for the season. Like, we're not going to see them again until playoffs. We're about to play Atlanta, the other top dog, for our third time this week, and we haven't played anybody else more than twice. And so, you know, I was talking to our team about it the other day. We kind of have this group of three through six, really, that are competing for those spots in the playoffs, and we're 5-1 against them. And so we're really setting ourselves up for a good spot to make a playoff run, and we just kind of got to keep our nose to the ground and keep getting better and not get too wrapped up that we lost to Omaha again. You know, it's like, okay, flush it and move on.
Content creation can be a difficult thing to tackle, especially if you're on your own, you've got a business to worry about, and you need a helping hand. That's what AuthenticAudioPro.com is all about. You can reach out to me directly on social media at Brandon Kravitz across all platforms. I'm happy to help. Everything from commercial production to live endorsements on this very show. I'll even help you launch your own high-quality podcast that you can be proud of. Customizable packages are available to fit your business's needs. I'm ready to work with you to tell your story and to make you sound great in the process. Learn more at AuthenticAudioPro.com.
Right. And you talk a little bit about the competition level, about how it's kind of a good amount of parity throughout the league right now. Overall, in your experience, how does the PVF this season compare internationally as far as competition-wise, the level of athletes that you do have in this league? Are these Olympic-level athletes that we're seeing going through the United States right now?
Yeah, we have 32 Olympians playing in our league right now. And so we're all over the world. You know, we have Bulgaria, Russia. We had a German player in our league for a little bit. She's now playing in Israel, Canada, Puerto Rico. So we're really kind of very popular amongst people that are looking for an opportunity to come over to the league. This is a little bit of a tangent, but typically I would say contracts for volleyball start rolling in around this time of the year. Everything got bumped up to like the end of January because Italy and Turkey are watching us put on this great show, and we're paying pretty decent money top to bottom. And they started pumping their contracts out in January. Like, it was crazy. We've never seen anything like that before. So I think that the talent is great. I think that our environments and how many people are attending our matches is making even more of a statement. And people know that sports is a big deal in the US. And so I think we're going to continue to kind of have that worldwide reach and keep bringing in really great athletes.
That's awesome. And that kind of plays back on what you talked about before. The financial investment that the ownership is putting into the league is really pushing international at this point too. So that's amazing to hear.
Yeah.
Now, as far as being in Orlando, we talked about it a little bit, but You're also in a city with a group like the Orlando Pride out of the National Women's Soccer League. You share a league or a city with the Orlando Boom, who are in the Women's Developmental Basketball Association, who have won a couple of championships in that league. How does it feel to be in a city that has multiple women's franchises? And again, in this time frame of where it almost seems like we're having a revival in women's sports right now. We had the early 90s where the WNBA really kicked off and you saw a spike then, and also with the women's soccer hype that happened at that time. We're coming up on another World Cup season. We're coming up on the WNBA is continuing to grow. How does it feel to be a part of, like I said, that revival in attention towards women's sports?
Yeah, I think it's really cool. It's really special. We talk about gratitude a lot around here and just being able to be at the forefront of it for volleyball. I think, if I'm being completely honest, I think sometimes we're a little bit like, oh, we're still so far behind. You know, the Women's Soccer League is absolutely crushing it. I mean, they had opening weekend and you saw the numbers, you saw the fans. They're on, I think they were on NBC this weekend. And so they have truly done what I think is the best job in women's sports in marketing their teams, marketing their players, and getting this kind of broader fan base than just soccer fans. I think volleyball can do the same thing. I think in Orlando, we can have volleyball fans and we can have sports fans, kind of just like soccer is doing right now. And I think it's a good market to blend all of those groups together because we already have women's sports in the market. I feel like there is support for it. It's not like you're joining the market and there's pushback of, oh, it's just a women's team, you know, like that's happening other places. I don't think that's going to happen in Orlando. And I think we're just going to continue to see our numbers slowly grow. That's what I keep telling everybody. It's like, it takes time. Like, I think we should be really proud that our opening night was 5,500. We're around 3,000 day in and day out. And I think towards the end of the season, we'll get even a little bit higher now that college basketball is coming to a close. But Orlando's been really great. And I think the more women's sports, the better, because we're just going to get that cross-pollination of fans everywhere.
No, I completely agree. And I think you're absolutely right that the way that the Women's Soccer League has pushed itself in the right direction, they're doing a great job of marketing and advertising. Do you view them as a model for the PVF going forward?
Yeah, I do. I think the WNBA this year really stepped up also. I think I'm a player's coach. I'm always going to say everything is about the players. And so cool, we can promote the team, but it's about personalities and getting fans to have that recognizable player from your market. You know, Kelsey Plum and Asia Wilson, like they have done such a great job for the Vegas Aces. We know who they are, right? Sabrina in New York, like it's really easy to have some recognizable faces in the WNBA this year. And so that's where I think they've pivoted and done a really, really great job of getting the younger markets interested in women's basketball. And you know how it is. Once the social media ball is rolling, kind of everybody gets to talking about it. And then there's soundbite after soundbite on TikTok and Instagram. And I think that women's soccer started that last year and they've done a wonderful job with their socials and their marketing, and WNBA stepped up this year. And so I think we're going to kind of see that trend happen throughout other women's sports. I mean, the hockey league that started this year is incredible, and they're starting to do the same thing. And so I just think it's about giving our players voices and opportunities and getting them out there. And the minute that fans get to know who they are, they can kind of latch onto them and they can have a fan base.
And you touched on it a little bit, but you do always get those people in every market that are like, oh, it's just another woman's sport. Nobody wants to watch it. How do you deal with the trolls, for lack of a better term, for these guys? Because I can't stand them personally. I don't know how some of you guys are able to bite your tongue a little bit and move on with it. How do you combat that? And how do you, again, make sure that it's all, the focus is back to building the game, building the focus?
Yeah, I think any of us that played sports in the 2000s, I'm dating myself here. I'm much older than I look, and I'm much older than I am tall. So I think people think I'm a little bit young, but I've been playing volleyball since, you know, 2000, and I graduated college in 2009. And so I think any of us that kind of went through that, we didn't have people that cared about women's sports. We were very much our own advocates, and that's been going on since the 70s, you know? And so when we have the people that are, sorry, I had a player just walk in, talk about players. Fine. We got a meeting. But anytime that we talk about people that just like don't care about women's sports, you just let it roll off your back. And you're like, great, you might not, but there's three other people right next to you that do. So we don't really need you to like us anyway. We're going to continue to reach out to the fan base that is interested. And then for those, I will say for those that are like, oh my gosh, like women's sports is boring, just go to a game. Like sometimes I'm just like, here's a free ticket. Go to the game and then tell me what you feel like after the game. And there have been people in Orlando specifically, not saying that they're trolls, but they've come up to me after games and they've been like, I've never been to a volleyball game before. I'm sold. Like, this was the most fun I've had at a sporting event. And I think volleyball specifically is very unique in that way. There's a point every time. There's something exciting that happens every play. I might be biased, but I think we have the most athletic women in the world playing our sport. You got to be fast. You got to jump. You got to hit hard. You got to do a little bit of everything. And so I think it's really easy for people to fall in love with volleyball specifically.
Yeah, no. And prior to this year, I was one of those people that had never been to a volleyball match. And then I started attending, like I said, the UCF volleyball matches over at the Next Door Arena that you guys are performing at. And it was amazing. It's so fast. It's exciting. Yeah. Like you said, there's a point on every play. It's if you haven't had a chance to go out, I really do highly recommend it. You guys are fantastic athletes. It's amazing to watch. And just to kind of wrap it up, do you think that there's more expansion available still in Orlando for women's sports? Like I said, we mentioned a couple of the franchises, but I would love to see a WNBA team here again at some point. And the continued expansion of the PVF. Do you think that's something that's viable for the city and the region?
Yeah, I wish I could comment on that a little bit more, but I've only been living here for 3 months.
Fair enough.
For me, I'm like, wow, there's already so much to do here. But I think that we're going to continue to see expansion everywhere. You know, the Bay Area just added another women's soccer team. We're adding 3 new teams to our league next year. So we'll be at 10 teams. I think Orlando is pretty ripe for a market. I think that, like I said, there's always tourists here. So there's always things to do here. And so far from what I've seen from like the business side of things, the city rallies around athletics. And I don't think people realize that, but they really do. I mean, there's regular people that live in Orlando, not just people coming to Disneyland. And it's pretty drivable from other cities as well. And so I would love to keep seeing that the city just, you know, kind of hold on to women's sports and keep expanding it. And I'd love to have another team here.
That was head coach Amy Pauly from the Orlando Valkyries of the Pro Volleyball Federation. Coach, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. And also, can you go ahead and just kind of tell the people where to catch you guys? You guys are available on YouTube for all the games. Is that correct? And then also, when is your next home match here in Orlando?
Yeah, so we play at Addition Financial Arena, which is on UCF's campus. It's where their basketball team plays. All of our matches are streamed on YouTube for free, and we'll have some CBS sports games coming up here as well. And then our next home game, we're on the road for a while, but our next home game is April 11th versus the Grand Rapids Rise. And then also that week we'll be playing April 14th against San Diego. So we got a couple home matches early on in April.
There we go. So keep an eye out in April for those Orlando Valkyries tickets. Again, Coach, thank you so much for taking the time and good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you so much.
And again, a thank you to Coach Amy Pauly for taking the time to speak with me about the Orlando Valkyries, the Professional Volleyball Federation, and just how amazing I think that this women's sports revival is going to be. Now, what do you think? Is women's sports going through revival like I've talked about? Should the WNBA return to the area, or do you think that there's another sport that should take that leap like volleyball did with the Professional Volleyball Federation? Let us know in the Zoneheads Facebook group, where these discussions are always welcome. Just search for Zone-Heads on Facebook and Instagram to join the discussion. Now, don't forget to find me on social media at MySportsFlorida on all social media, and check out my website, mysportsflorida.com.
Thank you all so much for listening to Zoneheads Orlando. Again, this was Greg Rhodes here for The Underreported.
Today's episode of the Zoneheads Orlando podcast brought to you by Authentic Audio Productions, your go-to source for audio production of any kind, commercials, live endorsements, podcast production. You know, we can make you sound this good. Let Authentic Audio be your guide. Go to the website, get a feel for what we offer, AuthenticAudioPro.com. Follow this show, keep up on Facebook by becoming a Zonehead, also on Instagram and on YouTube. Short clips found there. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Continue to let the internet know that we are here. Throw us a follow, rate us, review us. We greatly appreciate it. Things are heating up. Stay tuned for tomorrow's Hot Takes Only episode, the perfect weekend listen as you unwind from the work week. We'll chat soon, Zoneheads.
About Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast.
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Every Stearns & Foster mattress is handcrafted with the finest materials for irresistible comfort every single night. Now, save up to $800 on select adjustable mattress sets only at stearnsandfoster.com. Lesser savings may apply.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
If you have kids or pets, you know stains and odors in your carpet and upholstery are inevitable. But the experts at ChemDry can help. ChemDry removes odors and stubborn stains by sending millions of carbonating bubbles deep within your carpet. ChemDry lifts dirt, urine, and stains to the surface to then be extracted away, giving you a cleaner and healthier home. Call 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com to connect with your local ChemDry and learn about special offers in your area. That's 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com today.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.